Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our visit with 99-year-old Jim Parker of North Las Vegas, Nevada. Originally from McAllen, Texas, he had never even seen a plane before he enlisted in the Army Air Corps. That was before the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. But Jim would end up logging over 23,000 hours in the cockpit in his life, flying 22 different aircraft models. But as he told us before he left off, the most important development during his assignment at Minter Field in California's Kern County was meeting the young woman with whom he would enjoy 78 years of marriage, his late wife, Joyce.
Well, that was October 29th, 41. We married October 2nd, 42.
Wow.
I was gone 2 months to Hemet, the primary pilot training, February and March of 42. Come right back to Minter Field for basic, where I'd been a crew chief, and now I'm flying the airplane. And then I go to Stockton for advanced. We were set up to get married in base chapel with a chaplain on graduation day on a Friday. So Joyce came up, and of course they were moving troops, and she got bumped on her schedule. And for a while, I thought maybe she'd not come here. But she showed up, and I had a motel room for her. And I said, "Okay, it's too late now. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. First thing, we'll go to base, and I'll get all of our paperwork. You know, there I was in Stockton, and I got my medical and everything, and I had to send the application for the marriage license to her back. The clerk had it, but he wouldn't issue the license. Friday afternoon, we got started on it. Saturday, we all day long, we even had a couple of judges come down and say, "You know kids that lied to you because you've known them all their life. You took their word for it. This guy was honest with you, and now you're not going to help him out." I says, "Yeah, I can be cannon bait for the Air Force, flying an airplane, get shot all to hell. That's okay, but I'm not old enough to get married." Anyway, then we wound up with Sunday. Of course, her parents were expecting us to get married on Friday. My parents were, and neither family expected us to hang out together because we didn't.
Right.
I was going back to the barracks to sleep, and George says, "You're going to stay right here in this room." So I slept in the chair, and she slept in the bed. And we behaved ourselves. That's why we were married so long. But finally, wound up Monday morning, I got orders to go to Salt Lake City. It didn't take us very long to get everything in that 36 Ford and head for Reno. We get over there, had a window out, so I couldn't leave our stuff in the car while I was in the courthouse. So we got a motel room, put our stuff in so it'd be safe. They went to the courthouse, and the county clerk, old gal, got the marriage license. She kept looking at him. She says, "You kids want to get married now?" Neither one of us said a word. I guess we both nodded. She said, "Meet me at the next door down there. I got to close my window, and then I'll come out there." Walking across the main floor to the stairs to the second floor where the judge's office was, there's a guy coming down the stairs. We get there, and she said, "Jose, turn around and follow us. You got to be a witness at the wedding." So she takes us in and gives judge marriage license and introduces us around. And he says, "Well, let's get with it." Anyway, I forget where Joyce was last. Or I was like, "Do you take this, I guess it's me, woman to be your lawfully wedded wife?" "I do." "I'll pronounce you man and wife. $7, please." I turned and I nosed up that old son. I says, "I don't think I'll pay you." He says, "You what?" He says, "I don't think I'll pay you." "Why?" I says, "You could have taken a breath between $5. And I said, "I'll be back next week to give you your second lesson." That was the beginning of our marriage. We go to Salt Lake City. It's a replacement center. It wasn't an organization I was going to be assigned to. We sat there a couple of days at a motel room downtown. I went to leave the base to go to the motel, and the guy wouldn't let me out the gate. And I says, "I got a brand new bride down there. I've got to get off base." "Well, you can't go." About 30 minutes later, they put me on an old 6x and a bunch of other guys, trucked us down to the train station. Well, lucky or unlucky, it was about a block from the motel. I get on there, and none of the military people listen to me. And I saw this civilian conductor, so I went to visit with him. He took me in the car behind the one I was put in. There wasn't anybody in there. He says, the only thing I can tell you is this damn train won't leave the station until you get back. he puts me out on the other side so they wouldn't see me. There's only a block or two to the hotel. So I at least got to go tell her I was running off and leaving her. So the Army owes me a 36 Ford coupe with a rumble seat. Never paid me for it. Joyce had to go back to Shafter because Blythe in World War II had a base there, and of course everything was taken up. But I had a doer there help me, and some guy bought a bunch of real small trailers. Of course, they weren't making big ones in those days, and he set them up in a lot and hooked up all the utilities, and he was renting them out at a very reasonable price. So we go down and look, and we rent one of those. But you almost had to call signals anytime either one of you moved. That was our honeymoon suite. We just got settled in, and they said, well, we're moving the whole group to Oklahoma City. So they took wives and children and put them on buses and sent them. They put us on a troop train, which took twice as long. But they had looked ahead. They had a hotel and a restaurant that the Army owned and was running there in Oklahoma City. So dependents were put there, given room and ID to use the restaurant. And we get in there 3 or 4 days later. Then we start looking for apartments. Some old shop. It could have been a barber shop. It wasn't a very big shop. It converted into an apartment downtown. That's the only thing we could find. We didn't have transportation, so we rented that. The second night, we knew we was in the wrong place. They hollered at them at the base and told them I needed a little help here. At least they gave me a Jeep for a day.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out in the northwest neighborhood of Oklahoma City at the time. This house had a sign, the upstairs apartment for rent. Two-story. So an older couple showed it to us. This lovely place. The kitchen was awful small because it was put in, you know. We rented it, and I think they were as happy as we were that we rented the apartment. They said, get rid of that Jeep. We'll get your transportation to the base and back. My perfectly good car is sitting in Salt Lake City.
Well, let me ask you, too, because I'm just, you know, hindsight now.
Yeah.
As I hear you tell that story, it wasn't easy for you guys to get married. There are a lot of wrenches that got thrown in the way. Did you ever think, hey, maybe this is a sign and we're not supposed to get married?
No. She never had a negative thought, I don't think, and I know I have. If it's been done, I can do it.
Uh-huh.
If she was the same way, if it's been done, she can do it. Everything went along fine. By the way, I graduated from pilot training and promoted to staff sergeant. So all this stories I've been telling you, I was staff sergeant. On February 1st, 1943, they cut out all of the specialties and enlisted men. And they knew they made a mistake with the enlisted pilot program. They took all of us staff sergeants and promoted us to flight officer, which is equivalent to a warrant. Of course, we had to change uniforms and all of that jazz. So one day I was a staff sergeant, next day I was a flight officer. Next day I had orders to go overseas.
Well, that happened fast. And there's a lot of things I need to come back around to for you so we understand. The only reason I asked about the hurdles to you getting married, I mean, you guys had to go to great lengths. You're waiting days. It's not happening. You go to Reno. You finally get it done. And I'm sure some people would say, well, the odds were against you. This isn't a marriage that's going to last. But it lasted pretty long, didn't it?
The odds are going to last 100 years, I can guarantee. He's promised me a big party if I stick around for 100.
Well, you don't have too much farther to go. But before you lost your wife, you'd been married 78 years.
78 years.
That's pretty impressive.
If you find anybody else got those numbers, let me know.
Well, I guess I should ask you now, how do you do that? What's the secret to being married for 78 years?
Love is wonderful, but you got to like each other. There's a difference between love and like. Most lovers think that they got everything covered, but something pop up in front of them and then they got a problem. We decide we were going to get married. She, like me, that was a lifetime commitment. There was never any thought of divorce. It never came up, even in our hottest arguments. We always hugged and kissed after it to be sure it didn't interfere with the way we wanted to live. Like all marriages, all of a sudden she's pregnant. I'd been TDY down in Louisiana getting gunnery for my two gunners on the aircraft, and they called us back to Oklahoma City, told me, you can go see your wife, you got 1 hour and you got to get back. So that's when I told her I was leaving for overseas that afternoon. She says, well, I'm pregnant.
Wow.
And this couple, bless their heart, they were heartbroken. I said, don't you worry about her. We'll see that she gets to wherever she wants to go. Because I only had an hour to get back to Will Rogers. They had me on a C-47 with a bunch of other pilots to Tulsa, which had a A-20 plant there where they assembled A-20s. We picked up a new airplane, flew it back to Oklahoma City. And then my two gunners and I packed all of our stuff in there, military, civilian, everything we had. 5 o'clock that afternoon, took off. A lot of them started buzzing the airfield, and I took off. I got the hell out of there and went, we're going to Barksdale, Louisiana. I went down Shreveport the next morning over to Mississippi. It's just a refueling stop, but a guy had an engine fire, one engine, and got his gunners out, and they were flying the airplane away from town. And when he jumped out, he was too low. His chute didn't get open.
Mm.
So we lost an airplane and a pilot in Meridian, Mississippi. Three or four of us stayed over with good friends of his and helped get arrangements made with his family.
And I know I keep hitting the rewind button on you, but there's a lot of little elements of your story here that maybe are something you've told so many times it's no big deal. But as I gauge it with the perspective of the normal World War II experience, there's some unique things about you. For one, you're one of the last guys alive who entered the military before Pearl Harbor. I know Minter Field is a special place for you, and there's still a museum there in Kern County in California where they preserve some of the history of guys like you who were there training. It's special because you met Joyce there. But another thing happened while you were there.
Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. Every veteran I've interviewed has some kind of memory of that day, December 7th, so I'm pretty sure you have one.
Unique as it is, three of my buddies and I, this one rich kid from Ohio, he had a Chrysler Imperial, brand new one, 41. We'd gone to church in downtown Bakersfield. We came out and there was the police everywhere. Any of you soldiers? And we weren't in uniform. We held up our hand and get to base as soon as you can. So we jumped in the car and go out. They didn't have a fence around the base at the time. They had a guard shack at the entrance, but they never had a guard there. But boy, we get back there, and the guard runs out and stops us. Where are you going? And the guy knew me personally. I said, we're going to the barracks. Get the hell out of the way. It was actually in church in downtown Bakersfield. Pearl Harbor was hit.
Yeah.
In my analysis, that had some effect of all the different things that happened thereafter. Don't ask me why, but I'm a strong believer in the old boy upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that made me put me on earth. He's the one that's going to take me when I give up. But he likes people that have their own opinion and will go for it.
Mm.
Whether you believe that or not, but that's a strong belief of mine from God. He wants you to be the individual you are. I know so many people trying to be like so-and-so, trying to be like, and you hear that story. But I had a free ride, the way I see it, all the way. So Larry Benner, and I don't know how far I got the story, the first sergeant called me in on February 1st, said, now you're a buck sergeant. Call me later, and you're going to Hemet to start pilot training.
And what was that like? Because you told me, you know, you had never even seen a plane before you enlisted in the Army
service,
Air Corps. So to get in the cockpit for the first time, did you feel something?
Oh, it's happening. It's happening.
Uh-huh.
That confirmed in me that anything is possible. That's how I felt. Anything. You may think you understand a kid growing up on a country farm. We never had electricity. We never had running water. I was lucky. My brother was lucky. Our dad didn't keep us out of school to help with the farming. Of course, we worked before we went to school, and we worked after we got out of school. He figured that was good enough, so we were pretty lucky we weren't interrupted in high school. Now, I graduated from high school in 1939, and I swear that I have everything I know today in me at that time. Because I haven't run into anything that surprised me.
And once we hear some of the circumstances he encountered during 53 B-17 bombing missions during World War II, that's going to be quite a statement that he made. It's break time again, but there's much more to come with 99-year-old Jim Parker. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.